Oh.
Oh my God. Well,
are you ready?
I am ready. Are you ready?
I think so. I've never been on somebody else's podcast yet.
Oh my
Wait.
God.
Yeah. I mean, I've done like interviews and stuff, but never like on a podcast.
Never like a podcast. What's crazy is we're not going to talk about like, I feel like on a radio show, they're asking you about your career,
yeah,
like your theater career.
Yeah.
That's not what today is, mama.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
Sorry. Also, I just yelled RIP headphone users.
Sorry. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to XO, your unlicensed therapist. It's me, Kate, your unlicensed therapist. And today I am joined by a co-host. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. It's Veronica Stern. What's up?
This is Veronica. Veronica is a perfect girl in a perfect Aww. World. We met I don't even remember. Was it the summer? No, it was the fall.
No, it was the fall, closer to like November almost.
Oh my God, yeah. Because I was abroad when we DM'd.
When we connected.
When I slid in.
It was slid into my DMs.
When I slid into your DMs. So we connected and we became friends. And today's conversation is so perfect for you. So
I'm excited.
Title of this episode, it's called Dreams Can Change, in parentheses, and that's okay.
Love.
That's what we're talking about today.
Chills.
It's what we were, I was just on Veronica's podcast.
Yes.
And we were just talking about this a little bit, I feel like towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that podcast is called Unlearning with yes. Veronica Stern.
Thank you for the plug. Yes, it's called Unlearning. You can find it on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. I also post clips on social media.
And you should all go watch all of the episodes, ours included.
Yes.
So today I want to talk about dreams shifting and changing as you mm-hmm. get older. And this is kind of what we were talking about the tail end of yours.
Yep.
About how like your version of success and how that changes over time.
Mm.
So I think I want to start with tell everyone a little bit about your background very briefly.
Sure.
And kind of where you're at and how your dreams have changed.
Yeah. So I am a musical theater girly, obviously. I'm here. So
love it.
I went to college for musical theater. I did 2 national tours, and
she led a national tour, might we add.
Yes, Anastasia. And I've done regional stuff. So I've run the gamut so far, which is really mm-hmm. nice and fun. But last summer, I was just really burning out and just feeling like I was not enjoying myself. I had fun, but I just was I need to try something else. Mm-hmm. I was just feeling this itching of I love theater, but I know I can do so many more things. And I just want to try to see if I can do something else for just a little bit. So I called my agent up and I was like, babe, need a break. Actually, I didn't say it like that. It was more anxiety ridden and nerve wracking. And it took 3 calls to actually say what I wanted. But I was like, I need to take a little break.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get back to you when I'm ready. And I took that time to find a corporate job in mm-hmm. media, and I really like it so far. Checking in with the musical theater when it happens and kind of feeling like I'm working towards it. I hate to say that I'm working towards a new goal,
mm-hmm.
but I just feel like the mentality of theater or bust has just taken a little bit of a side seat, which used to feel really scary, but now it feels very calming and very, I don't know what the word is, it feels
less pressure.
Yeah, less pressure, and it is making it, when things do come in, they feel more fun.
Yeah.
And I'm I hate to say crashing out again, but I'm just crashing out less over it.
Yeah. No, 100%.
You know?
No, and thank you for saying that, because that's actually one of the talking points I was mm-hmm. going to bring up is mm-hmm. That age-old rhetoric that it's it's theater or nothing.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to sell your soul a little bit to this industry, or at least you're told you have to in college. I don't know if for you, tell everyone where you went.
I went to CCM in Cincinnati.
CCM. And that's what I call it. I don't know why.
CCM. Okay.
And I went to Northwestern, and I would imagine there's similarities, and that I don't know if your teachers were if you have a plan B, get rid of, or like, do that.
Yeah.
Don't ever consider doing anything else.
Well, in my freshman year, so we both came from like not theater performing arts schools, right?
Yeah.
So I went to like a regular old high school, and the theater stuff was the thing that I did like after school. Did I take it extremely seriously? Yes.
Well, of course.
And like, did I do all of the programs? So it felt like I was like supplementing my regular education with that. Mm-hmm. But when I got to college, I went to conservatory. And I was used to being able to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was used to be able to like study psychology and like studying history, but also doing theater and feeling like there was a balance.
Yeah.
When I got to college, it was like, nope, that's it. Only this. And I literally, unfortunately, distinctly remember going to my academic advisor and since it's not a visual podcast, I'm putting up parentheses or what is this?
Air quotes.
Air quotes. Academic advisor, who was just one of the professors of musical theater, and I said, hey, like, I would love to minor in something because I go to this huge school and I'd like to take advantage of that. And he was like, yeah, I think that if you want to do that, you should probably like maybe leave the program.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, oh.
Oh, that's not.
I was like, oh, well, I just thought like I could do both. And he was like, yeah, no. So that's kind of stuck with me my whole life so far, and that's why my podcast is called Unlearning, because like I'm very much unlearning all of those things and that rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
that's terrible.
I
that you said
where
that
I was
to you
going with that.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you, how old were you, like, what,
18?
Oh my God, like, imagine a grown person sitting there, or the person that you consider a partner in your education,
yeah,
saying to you, well, you should probably just do that then.
Yeah. It was also crazy because like I didn't say like, oh, I want to like double major. I was just like, can I like take some classes? Like, I have the time.
That's crazy to me.
And also, it wouldn't take away from like singing and dancing.
No. And also, if anything, it would supplement it.
So that kind of stuck with me my whole college career, and I was just like, oh, anytime I had like a lingering feeling of like I want to try something else, I was like, well, you can't, because you're not, you know,
you're not that, you're this,
you're not committed enough. And I was like, this is so stupid.
Oh, God, I hate that happened. But I so like, that's the common theme, I
it
think
is.
Amongst everyone in theater.
I've heard though that it's getting better, like,
thank
I've,
God.
I've heard like there's now kids, and it's hard to watch because I hate to say it's hard to watch. It's hard to see because you feel like this jealousy almost. You're like, oh, mm-hmm, you guys are so lucky that they're mm-hmm encouraging this, and they're encouraging you guys to do student run productions, and they're encouraging you guys to like branch out and not feel like you can only, you know, do one thing. So I'm
yeah
really happy for them, but it also sometimes stings.
No,
because
it
I'm
makes
like,
me sad.
If there was just like one professor that
did that
for me, I think I would feel, I would have felt like less crazy in the years
crazy
to come.
And also like trapped. There's a sense
yeah
of feeling like you have no choice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this thing that you love so much, I'm telling you that you don't love it enough if you want to do something else.
Right.
That's like somebody saying to you like, well, if you don't want to like have kids right now, then you don't ever want to have kids. That is how crazy that's, and how crazy does that sound?
Yeah,
like,
it's
that's
just
insane.
It's just a weird mentality that I think a lot of actors have, because it's so deeply rooted in the work.
So deeply rooted in the work.
So,
you give yourself
weird
over. There's like this sense of you have to give yourself to this art form,
mm-hmm,
wholly,
mm-hmm,
and almost kill yourself to do it. And it's like,
yeah,
actually, no.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I think today, like what I want to break down is like the myth of that linear dream and how like,
mm,
it's okay to like have other things, because like clearly like that's not true what that professor told you. Like,
yeah,
that's literally not true.
Yeah.
And if you're in college right now and you're listening, like that's not true. If you have other wants and other dreams for yourself, you can want those things.
Yes.
You have a whole life to fill with things.
I was actually listening to a podcast yesterday where they were talking about how yes, that was a thing that people used to say, but the age of like social media has mm actually made that less of a thing, because actors are literally made for social media. So
true.
Like, now we have this outlet where we actually can still be so creative and still do all of these things without feeling like we're sacrificing the
our
dream
art,
or the
our
art
dream,
or
whatever.
So it's interesting
that's
that,
great
that you said that.
It's like, it's it just makes me sad because, like, as humans, like, we're multidimensional. There's so many things that are interesting. Like, you wanting to be like, I love theater, but also like, I love psychology. Mm-hmm. And maybe you love art history, or like, or maybe you love, I don't know, the anatomy of a frog. I don't know. Like,
and I was also going to say this, those experiences only color.
Exactly.
The theater stuff.
Exactly.
Because if I had had the opportunity, and I did end up taking some like supplemental classes and stuff like that, and it only interested me more in musical theater
100%.
Because I'm like, oh, I'm taking this business class. Like, what is the business of theater? Mm-hmm. So the idea that you can only study theater, and you can tell people that, you can tell like people that have just done theater, yeah, like, and that's like their only goal in mm-hmm. life is to just like be like an actor.
I'm honestly scared of them and scared for them.
And it's just like, branch out, like do something else. Like, it literally only colors you as an actor and you as an, like, all of it. For example, I, sorry if I'm getting off track.
No, I'm loving it.
Get back on track. I went to see Wicked. I saw Lincia. I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Our first Black Elphaba.
Yeah, the first full-time Black Elphaba. And I was reading her bio. Mm-hmm. She literally, I don't want to butcher what she did, but she literally went to Occidental College.
Oh,
which I think it's in California.
Yeah.
She literally studied like business relations, like public affairs.
Obsessed.
Yeah. And now she's Elphaba on Broadway.
That's like Jessica Vosk.
Yes. And also Allie Trim, who is now the full-time Glinda.
Mm-hmm.
She went to Stanford and studied like psychology or something.
Sickening.
I was like, yes, more of this. More let's of get that. Them on a podcast. I want to hear about this.
Yes.
It's so interesting and it's so cool, the idea that like these are fully like rounded,
they're real people.
Yeah.
I agree with you and I so share that want. Yeah. Like, and I think it's because like, and why I say I'm scared of and scared for those people that are just like theater is, yeah, I'm like, you don't believe that. Mm. I don't believe any human is only one track for something for the rest of their life. Because no. I'm like, there's going to come a time where this is no longer going to serve you in yes. the way that you, it's serving you right now.
And theater's so fine. Fleeting. It's so,
so fleeting.
God forbid something happens to you.
Oh my God.
And
you get an injury.
You get an injury. You hurt yourself. You, whatever.
You want to start a family.
You can't. Yeah, it's hard.
It's so hard. And it's also like, you have to be malleable with the dream.
Yes.
Because I think something I've had to learn is like, your dreams change and that's okay,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't mean the dreams don't still exist. The mm-hmm. dreams are still there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just different now. Mm-hmm. It looks different now because you have different wants for your life. And it's so cool that like you see those success stories
yeah.
of those girls or those people
yeah.
that went to school for something completely, totally fucking different. And then are literally Elphaba on Broadway, literally making history as the first full time Black Elphaba on Broadway.
Yeah.
And she didn't even go to school for this.
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, oh, I'd be so interested to interview her. Cause I'm like, how did you get to this?
DM her.
I will.
Like I DM'd you and I said, you said, come to my basement.
So
I'm not trying to hurt you.
No, you know, what's, basement. You know, what's crazy? Like I feel like I still have lingering PTSD though from school because I'm like, oh, like I can't because they're too, like they're in their work, they're in their crap, they don't want to talk, they're tired, no. like they need to rest their vote. I'm like, wait, like the worst thing they can say is no.
Exactly. Or not answer. And honestly, let them, this is also something I've learned in theater, don't count yourself out of the running before the casting director or the director has a chance to say no.
And that literally goes for everything.
It goes for everything. It goes for the job that you're applying for. It goes for you wanting to DM this girl because you want to interview her.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Why are you saying no to yourself before they have a chance to say no?
Oh my God. That literally unlocks something in my brain. Why am I letting them? Wait, is that the let them theory?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's not.
I was like, wait, Mel Robbins does have a point.
That's not the let them theory. But
okay.
Kind of within that, yeah, it's like you're saying no to yourself before,
okay, yeah,
you're even starting, and let them say no to you.
Yeah, I need to stop saying no to myself.
You are saying no to yourself, and that's okay.
I say no to myself a lot.
It's a good thing to realize now. I'm glad we've had this conversation, so now you can like at least clock it and yeah. be like, I'm saying no and I haven't even done it yet. She's having an out-of-body experience.
No, I
no one
really
can see
am. I really am, because I've never considered the fact that like I am saying no to myself before mm-hmm. I let myself.
Before you've even done it.
Before I've even done it. And that's something in 2025 that I actually am trying to do less of. And which is why mm-hmm. I love having the podcast, because it is genuinely forcing me out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And it's making me send messages to people and reach out and talk to people that I may not have talked to. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I'm your unlicensed therapist. That's my job.
It's in the title.
It's in the title. Switching gears a little. Uh-huh. I think also to talk about, like, not even just with theater, but I think with like as a younger person.
Yeah.
I think there's this because of social media, because social media does a lot of really beautiful things, as you said,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of taking the pressure off and kind of that rhetoric that if you want to do theater, you can only do theater.
Right.
Like that rhetoric is kind of moving away. And I'm so glad that that's happening for the younger generation. Wish it happened for me, but I digress. Is like why we as young people think that success comes immediately. And I think a part of that is social media.
Oh my God, it totally is.
It's because we see these 16-year-old, 5-year-old, 10-year-old pop stars are revered as like these incredible, like the Justin Bieber of it all, like in somebody who like starts a business really young. Like it's just like it puts pressure on all of us to get it together a lot faster than maybe we're ready for.
Mm-hmm.
And that like recognizing that all of our paths are different.
Yeah.
So like, you know, where have you seen that come up for you? Where if you've ever caught yourself, like for us for theater, it's the Jimmy Awards really that breeds those kids.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
The Jimmy Awards. That I think we should cancel those, by the way.
No. Wait, stop. I hate
what they do.
No, it's crazy and it's really intense, but I do live for those medleys.
Oh, I love the medleys.
I love the Reno Sweeney, and then they hit the pose. Like it's funny.
It is funny, but I think that it creates this like really bad energy in the theater community of like these kids that aren't ready for the success.
Totally,
it's really crazy. Like Renee Rapp was 17 years old when she played Regina George on Broadway. Like that poor girl, and she's gone on podcasts before to talk about it, how it really screwed with her.
Yeah.
So I think like, if you can talk a little bit about like in your own life where you've ever caught yourself being like, I need to get this done by this age and this needs to happen by this age.
Ooh.
And like, and what, you know, now being a little bit older, being like, okay, that was crazy. Like how has that journey been for you?
Okay. I want to start with the idea that social media has really conflated the idea of overnight success.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find myself a lot, especially now that I have this podcast and I'm like trying to build something.
100%.
This idea that I'm like, why don't I have immediate success? Like, why is it not immediately clicking? Why is it not immediate? Because social media has made us feel that like, oh, this is not a theater person, but like Alex Earl, she just posts a video and it has a million likes. Mm-hmm. And there's this immediacy about it all. And so I genuinely feel, and I was talking to my friend Lana about this the other day, because she's starting a business as well, and it's a very slow going thing. Our generation wants things fast.
Mm-hmm.
Me included.
All of us.
But things don't happen fast.
No.
It's like the age old tale of like overnight success. It's like, no, like when you actually listen to what like people's journeys, it's a long time coming. So I think that to answer your question, I think that maybe why I was burning out, mm-hmm. because like I did get a national tour when I was 22 and I did get these things really quickly and really fast. And so it does something to my brain, because then I'm like, oh, why is the next thing not right now?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, like you have to wait. You have to like build up to that. And so I don't know. I think that I've never been the type of person that was like, by this age, I need to have this.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely feel societal pressure to feel like, and I think the social media, I say I don't have social media pressure, but I definitely do, because I'm like, I feel like I could be posting more and sharing more of my life. But then I'm like, I don't really like sharing that much of my life online. Like, it's not for people to, you know. So okay, this is, I'm like roundabouting your question right now.
No, it's perfect.
Gosh, I don't know. Okay, actually, it's funny. I'll say this. We have the same voice teacher.
You and I?
Shout out to Matt.
We do. We love you, Matt.
I haven't seen him in a while.
He's perfect.
but when I was like kind of toying with the idea of like really taking a break after mm-hmm. Les Mis, first of all, I was scared to tell him because I didn't want to hear that thing again of like, don't take a break. And yeah. I was like a little scared that he might say that, but also realizing when I did finally tell him that, he was like, no, like, good. Go. Girl, yeah. like, good. I hope that you are okay. And I'm glad that you're taking this time. But there was one time I had a lesson, and I'm not ashamed to say this. I was working on the Glinda packet because I was recording again for it. And he was like, why are you getting so frustrated? I was like, I don't know, because this is like my fourth time filming this. And like, I feel like they don't want me and da 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 da. And he said, am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
Of course.
He didn't say bitch, but it was like, bitch, that was the vibe, bitch, chill. He was like, do you know how old Mary Kate Morrissey is? I was like, no. He was like, do you know how old these Glindas are? I was like, no. He's like, girl, you're 25 years old. These other people are no spring chickens.
Yeah,
it takes time.
It does.
It takes time, and when the timing is right, it will happen for you. And I was like, no, like, you're right. You're right.
Unfortunately, he is right.
He's super right. But there was this like immediacy. I was like, I've done this tour. I've done this. I've done that, and I feel like I'm right for it now. But like, I'm not. And like, if the timing is right, and if if I'm meant to do that, that will happen.
100%.
But that was just a really like thing. And I was like, why did he say that to me? But also I always think back to that because I'm like, you know what? He is right.
Yeah.
Mary Kate has been doing Wicked for like 5+ years. God, she's done tour. She's done everything. So I think people see her on TikTok, and I actually really appreciate her for this. She's like, guys, like, this did not happen overnight. I've been working for this.
And I love that about her.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think I try to just give myself some more grace. I'm like, I'm doing pretty okay for myself and not feel so much pressure, but it's hard not to.
It's so hard. No, I love all of that. I think like, Matt, love you. That's such a Matt Farnsworth-ism. Like, it's so him.
Because
he says that to me too, where I'm like, rah! I'm like,
yeah,
so annoyed about
why is
about
it not
something.
Happening right now?
And I don't talk a lot about my theaterness on this podcast, but hey guys, I'm a theater girl. Don't know if you knew that. But it's okay. I am. And he says it a lot. He's like, go experience life. And if you, it also like has nothing to do like with, here's what I'll say. He says this also. If I was a brain surgeon or a neurosurgeon, and I put on in all this time that I've put into this, I would be making millions and millions of dollars at this point, at this level in my career. But that's not what this is. That's not what this is. And it's the only job in the world where you can put in so much work, you can have an incredible resume, and the person who's never done a day in their life gets it over you.
I think that's what's so hard about it, though. And that's why I feel like I had that time with him when I like said that thing, because it sometimes does feel like the person that just came out of the woodworks gets this thing, and you're like,
what the heck?
I don't understand. That's the thing that bothers me the most about this industry is it's like, there is levels of like, okay, you were a swing, now you're in the ensemble, and you can work your way up, and there are those stories.
It is. That's uncommon, but
but then there are also the people that just like come out of the woodworks and just
book it and slay, and like, good for them, but it's their journey. I think it's also understanding that it's like, in the, your dreams are changing, that's okay. Your journey is specific to you. So like, with your Glinda thing, like, I so get it. Every girl in their, I'm an Elphaba personally, and like, every girl has the like, Elphaba Glinda crash out of like, I want to play this role, and how do I get there, and how do, but I think also realizing that there's so many of us that feel that way, and that when the time is right for you, if the time becomes right for you, it will happen for you.
Holy.
And like, as you have to just like, this is the let them theory a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You have to like detach your, you have to detach from the outcome. You have to be like, let them and let me. So let them basically is like, Mel Robbins, I'm plugging you right now. The let them theory is like, you let them do what they want. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't control other people. So if they don't want to cast you as Glinda, let them. If they don't want to do this, let them. They're going to do it anyway.
Right.
And then the second part of it is, let me. So for the Glinda thing, let them not cast me, but let me keep working on it and do other things that fulfill me. Because then you... they're going to do it no matter what. You're going to only drive yourself fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Of like, I have to do this and I have to do that. Like, it's just not worth your energy. And like, it's also like knowing that like, and I think you do this already really well, is like knowing that your dreams are changing with you, and you've become more like, this is okay. Like,
yes,
I can want to do other things and that's fine. And I'm still a valid artist. And that doesn't
deter me away from maybe doing Wicked one day.
No.
At all.
What you're doing right now, no.
Before, I used to be scared. Oh, if I don't stick on this path, that might deter me.
I'll lose momentum. I'll lose all of the things I've built up. They'll forget about me. Yeah. Not true. Like, so untrue.
Yep.
And that's also not true in any other industry.
I guess so, yeah.
Like, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Like, to open it up to, like, other industries.
Yeah.
You can take time away and, like, live your own life. Like, that's okay.
Right.
And it makes you come back to the work better.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And, like, more willing to give yourself to it. If you put too much pressure on it, mm-hmm. it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And another part of this is, I think, yes, the immediacy of social media really made our generation. I love what you said mm-hmm. about how, like, we need instant
gratification.
We want those instant ramen noodles. We don't want to like have to boil the pot and wait for it to boil, make the pasta, make the sauce. We don't do that. We want instant stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another part of this is COVID changed the game. It changed mm-hmm. everything. I hate to say that COVID changed everything.
No,
everyone's so tired of me saying that, but it's true.
It literally is the defining moment of our generation.
100%. It's like defining moment of like my early adulthood.
Your early adulthood is so fragile.
And
then
COVID.
For COVID to come and be like what it was, the effects are still not known, everyone.
No, still not known. Like, I think like with Broadway, like it shut down for 2 years.
Yeah.
Momentum stalled. But I think that's another example of how like you can stop something for a while and come back stronger.
Oh, that's super true.
Like Broadway stopped for 2 years.
Yeah.
They were doing the best they had ever done. And then COVID said, stop. And for 2 years, they were struggling. And for 2 years out of it, they were struggling. Now we're back to 95% capacity. Like, I mean, they're not like, the business is still struggling in a lot of ways, but it's showing that resiliency is a thing.
Totally.
From COVID. And like, casting is like more selective because there's fewer contracts and there's more people now because there's 2 years of people that didn't have jobs. Broadway level people that didn't have work. And so now they're competing for the regional contracts along with us.
Oh, I've never thought about it in that way. But yeah, that's super
they are
true.
like
that's super true.
There's two people currently doing a production of Waitress.
I knew you were going to say Waitress.
Because it's my like, it's my op. That show is my op. That and Six, my ops.
Oh, gosh.
But Waitress, because Six, God, I hope that never goes regional. Waitress, or if it does, I mean,
it's
good for
made
you.
For it.
It is made for it, but I just am like, ugh, nightmare.
Not anytime soon.
No, but Waitress, because Dear Evan Hansen just went regional, which is crazy to me. I can't. It's another op. So Waitress is happening at this theater, and the two people that are playing Jenna and Dr. Pometer are Broadway babies. Like, both just freshly came off of Broadway.
Wow.
And that would have never happened.
That's actually super true. That's very interesting that you say that.
It would never have happened.
Totally.
And it's the same thing with, like, corporate and business, and, like, mass layoffs reshaped the industry. The reason why the job market, I'm hearing this a lot from my friends who work in corporate America, they're like, the job market is so abysmal right now because there are so many people because everyone got laid off because of COVID. COVID changed everything about what we do. And so therefore your dreams have to change because the world has changed.
Totally.
And so therefore the old rules no longer apply.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there were any rules to begin with, but like there were some.
Yeah.
And now there's none. And like,
it's crazy.
It's really crazy to think about like how we think we're constantly behind. Like, you're not behind. You're just adapting. Like,
you're not behind, just adapting. And also, I think if you sometimes I think about this, I'm like, if social media didn't exist and I didn't see what, you know, Sally from Wisconsin was doing on a daily basis. There's no Sally from Wisconsin, by the way. And
she doesn't exist.
I'm not talking about anybody in particular.
No.
If I didn't know about her life, would I be feeling the way that I'm feeling? And I think about that a lot.
That's a crazy thought.
Because like,
it's true.
If I couldn't see some of these influencers and like what they're doing on a daily basis, would I be feeling the way that I'm feeling? And the answer is probably no.
The answer is actually absurdly no.
Yeah.
Like, definitely no.
Yeah.
Like, if you were looking at what all these influencers are buying, like I talk about overconsumption all the time. Like,
totally.
We're in a consumer final boss era.
Yes.
But like, would we want those teeny tiny little plastic dividers to divide all of our little makeup brushes if we didn't see Alex Earle using it?
No.
We don't even know. I don't know her. I don't know. I don't know. Again, Sally from Wisconsin. I don't know you, but I want your life. Why? I don't know you. Like, it's,
no, actually, it's this weird. Is like unlocking my brain. I love talking to you, Kate, because I feel like every time I talk to you, I just like understand things better. And then I am also just like, oh, I feel like less crazy.
You're not crazy.
Oh my God. Okay. But that's so true.
It's just like, would you, you know, and
but
also,
it's also so hard to get off of it.
I'm addicted.
Because it also, I feel like in some ways it's bad, but other ways it motivates me.
Yeah. That's, I think, the positive side of social media, that it can motivate you. And also, it's like aesthetically pleasing. I like looking at it.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice. Yeah. It's like, I love marketing. I love all that stuff. Yeah. Like, I love to see the aestheticness of it. I enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
But it's unrealistic, ultimately.
Totally.
Like, an episode, not me plugging myself on my own podcast, but an episode I did before the last one was about how to be a wellness girl in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And silly episode, because I just felt like, I love the aestheticness of it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that's not realistic. That's not real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's the same way as like, you wouldn't be looking at a movie and being like, well, why doesn't my life look like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe because you don't live on the Fox lot where they're filming that. Like, that's probably why your life doesn't look like that.
Yeah. It's super interesting. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's like, and it's also thinking about, I think I said this then, it's like when you have to be patient with things, like you were saying, like the things come in time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but social media gives us a vision into making us think it's instant, and it's not.
Uh-huh.
And it's like watching an episode of The Kardashians and being like, why don't I have a private jet? Why don't I have six businesses?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Right.
You look at somebody like Kylie Jenner, who's
a billionaire
who's like, what, only 2 years older than we are, maybe three.
Yeah.
And it just is like, but it seems like overnight, but it's not. Like, it took a long time.
It took a very long time, actually, now that I'm thinking about
and
it.
And also by a crazy happenstance that totally. Like just totally like, but it just shows you that life is so random and nobody's mm-hmm. against you and you're not behind. It's just your own path.
Mm-hmm.
And this brings me to also talking about like a bunch of stars. I have a list of stars that like found their success later or after a pivot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read some of them. These are mostly performers. So okay. If you're not a performer, sorry. Jessica Vosk. She worked in finance before Broadway. Like, that's literally what she did. And she took a huge risk by leaving her stable career in her late 20s to pursue performing. She struggled a little bit to work, and she almost gave up. But she came back, and she booked Elphaba and Wicked in her 30s. And the lesson from that is, like, your dream isn't gone just because it's taking longer than expected.
Totally.
And Leslie Odom Jr. is another one. He almost quit before Hamilton.
Really? I didn't mm-hmm. know that.
He thought he just missed his shot, no pun intended, and was literally considering like leaving acting.
Whoa.
And Hamilton changed it for him. Like, all it takes is that one show or that one job or that one whatever.
Right.
Cheryl Lee Ralph, like, seems like an overnight success, but after 40
Cheryl
years.
Cheryl Lee Ralph?
Cheryl Lee Ralph, yeah.
Do people not know about Dreamgirls?
No.
Wait, that's crazy.
Well, we do, obviously, because
yeah.
theater, I think, has become more mainstream,
but it
definitely starts really niche. She had early Broadway success with Dreamgirls.
Yeah, wasn't she also on a sitcom?
Well, she is now, Abbott Elementary.
No, before that.
Oh. Well, I mean, clearly it wasn't really successful,
right.
We know what it is. But, like, she kept working for 40 years.
Oh, she was on Alicia.
It was, what that is.
Oh, it was a 90s TV show.
Period.
Yeah, anyways.
Love that for you, Cheryl girl.
But still.
But she, 40 years, she struggled. And then she does Abbott Elementary.
And
it's one of the biggest sitcoms. It's, again, it's like if a hit changes it for you.
And now she's won all these awards, too.
She's won all of these awards. And then, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Ki Hui Kwan.
Uh-huh.
Ki Hui Kwan,
yeah.
I think I'm pronouncing it right.
The guy that won an Oscar.
He was a child star
mm-hmm.
in Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And then he disappeared from Hollywood completely.
Oh, that's crazy.
Which is so awesome. Which is awesome. Good. I mean, it's not awesome because there were no Asian roles at the time, which, I mean, terrible, but is true of our industry's history.
Right.
And Kim comes back at 50 years old and wins the Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
So cool.
And it's like, oh, okay. So I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
I'm going to be a girl who is going to be okay.
I was talking about that last night. Have you ever seen those videos where it's like those girls that just like.
Yes.
Like girl who's going to be okay.
Nope.
Like literally us right now sitting here like girl who's
going to be okay.
Because it's like that overnight
success. Do you like name the episode titles like based on something that happened in the episode?
No, I pick it before.
Oh, okay.
Why? What
no,
should I
was
call it?
Say
girl who's going to be okay?
Girls who are going to be okay.
Girls who are going to be okay. Another good podcast type.
Honestly, yeah.
Veronica, I've started two different businesses over the course
no,
of me
three.
Sitting. Three? Is this the third? Is that the third
girls
one?
Girls Who Gab, our marketing firm, and now
Girls Who Are Okay. Yeah, I think like ultimately everyone's gonna be fine, and we're young.
We're so young.
We're so baby.
Against what Defining Decade says, we are young.
Mm-hmm. Defining Decade is a book that I love, and Veronica, I think it's her op.
It's not my op. I did enjoy parts of it. I think that I just read it at a very fragile time.
She crashed out.
I did a little bit.
It's okay. Well, because the book literally is like, freeze your eggs.
And you're like, the book is like, you're old. What are you doing? You're wasting your time. You're 26. That's old. And it's like, wait, what? Like,
wait, what?
I'm just a girl.
I'm just a baby. Like, it's how I feel most of the time.
Yeah.
So I think like to round our lovely conversation out, mm-hmm. How have your dreams changed over, like, concretely? How have your dreams changed since when you were at CCM and that professor was like, you can't do anything else?
Ooh.
To where you are now and working at a media company that you really enjoy? Mm-hmm. And, like, how have you seen that change? And what advice would you give to that younger version of yourself?
Interesting. I don't know if my dreams have... It's okay. I don't think my dreams have changed. Mm-hmm. I think that my path to my dreams have changed.
Okay.
And I think that my understanding of maybe my dreams have changed.
Now she's crashing out.
Okay. Wait, have my dreams changed? I think that my definition of my dreams have changed a little bit.
Does that mean your dreams changed?
Wait, fuck. I'm sorry, guys. Wait.
My definition changed.
I'm like, what are my dreams? I think that I just like...
Well, like maybe you're less attached to the outcome of them. Like you have dreams, but you're not like, they need to happen.
Yeah, I think that my dreams have changed because I think once before my dreams were attached to like success and also like the job that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was what... It was like, the dream is like, I have a great job. Now the dream is like, oh, do I have something? Do I have a life that I can, that I'm happy with? Do I have a work that sustains me outside of the actual thing that I do? Like, mm-hmm. Do I have like work-life balance? Like, that's my dream. You know, it's less about getting one thing and more about like a holistic life. And it's like more about like, am I crafting the life that I want to live?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing things and making, like, you know, setting pebbles down that lead to something that feels fulfilling? And I think if I had asked myself when I was younger, oh, what's your dream? It would have been like, oh, you know, to be on Broadway, to do this, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just more like to be something, to be happy, to be this, whatever.
Yeah, and whatever that means.
Yes.
I think that's beautiful. Like, it's no longer to do, it's to be.
Yes, 100%, 100%.
And, like, to be happy, to create a life that you are happy and comfortable in and that you feel passionate every single day and you enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, and then to answer your question about, like, what is the, like, thing that I would tell my younger self, it's funny because I saw this interview with Cynthia Erivo and she was like, I would say nothing because, like, everything that has happened in my life has led me to this point. And I was like, okay, girl, like, what?
I mean, well.
But I kind of do hear that. I guess the one thing I would say is that to not worry so much, but it's hard because I still worry a lot.
Yeah.
But I think I'm getting better at not worrying as much as I once did and just, like, letting things happen a little bit more and mm-hmm. knowing that I can, like, deal with it. I you know, but then I'm like, I'm anxious now. I'm like, I don't know. Can I deal with it? So, yeah, I guess my advice to my younger self would just be like,
chill.
No, I wouldn't say chill because I think that my anxiety does help me sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. It does have uses. Anxiety.
But I think I would just say have more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I was very, like, this.
Stressed.
I was very much like this in high school. And
blinders
like,
on.
In college, even, too. Just, like, blinders, 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 blinders. And now I feel like I'm just now, like, opening up my blinders a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah.
My final question is, what advice would you give yourself right now? Like, what advice do you, like, if you heard on a podcast, you'd be like, ugh, I needed to hear that.
Yeah. Gosh. What advice would I think it would just be to worry, like, to, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before about how, like, if I didn't watch Sally from Wisconsin's TikTok, would I be feeling this way? It would just be to, like, separate that from, like, your real life.
Mm-hmm.
And just be like, stop it with the constant worrying about, is this podcast going to be good? Is this going to work out? Is this da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And just focus on, like, right in this second. Like, what's happening today? I filmed this episode with Kate. I'm going to edit this. I have to edit this thing later. You know?
Not, like, zooming out so far.
Yeah, and not trying to, like, get to the final stage now.
Yeah.
And just, like, laying the groundwork and, like, enjoy laying the groundwork.
Enjoying the journey, one might say.
Ooh.
Hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that thing where people are like, you have to enjoy the journey. Okay, shut up. What if I'm stressed?
Yeah, I think I'm more so like, enjoy the work. Enjoy the process.
Yeah, enjoy the process.
Let's change it to process.
Let's change it to process. Maybe journey is not right.
I just hate the word journey.
We're not journey out. Well, you know those lists where people are like, they make in and out. Journey out, process in. You heard it here first.
Some people would say they hate process. They hate the word process.
Whatever, that we've declared it for us.
Yeah, you know, you can't please everyone.
You can't please everyone. You can't.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you for having me. My first ever podcast.
Your first, oh my God. We just did a podcast swap. Yeah. It was so fun. Go listen to Veronica's podcast, Unlearning.
Yes.
Wait,
when is this coming out?
This is coming out on Friday, coming Friday.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. Yours will come out on Tuesday then.
It can come out whenever you normally release.
No, I want it to be like aligned, you know.
Great, perfect.
Work, okay.
Done. You can listen to our podcast on her.
Unlearning. Oh yeah, it's Unlearning Plug with it. Veronica Stern. Listen on Spotify if you have Spotify. It's a video podcast as well. And
you get to see us.
Yeah, so you can watch it on YouTube and follow me on social media at Veronica Stern.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Love you so.
Love you too.
Okay, bye everyone.
Bye guys.